last week, like I said earlier, Judy did a wonderful, masterful job last time of talking about explaining the symbol. And we're going to today talk about how it works. And first of all, it's just a wonderful time to be alive right now, and to see all of the wonderful ways that Spirit is working in everybody's life. And some people are conscious of it, some are not. I mean, like, yesterday is Valentine's Day, and at 7:18 a.m., the moon aligned. The moon was in the seventh house, and Jupiter and Mars aligned for 18 minutes on the North Node, which was the opening of the possibility for greater love and our spirituality through love. Ernest Holmes says, and I always get this wrong, and I get it backwards, and please excuse me if I do, and correct me. But love leads the way, and law makes the way. No. Law. Say it, Connie. I'm
sorry. I don't know that particular one there. Love rules through law.
That's love moves through law. Yes.
Rule through law.
Love, yeah. Thank you, Connie. And I always get that backwards for some reason. I don't know why, but I wanted to use it. So I think it's awesome. What a lot of people don't realize that in 1962, this the exact same thing happened. The same alignment happened, but it was on the South Node, which opened us up to healing our past through love. So we've had how many years of
30
some years? Yeah, I should know that.
40
some years. Yeah, that's right. 40 some years.
I'm 47. So
yeah.
And
yes, I'm in denial. No, I'm not. I'm only kidding. So it's wonderful that we get to talk about this thing that and how it works, and it does work through love. The first thing you have to do is you have to ask yourself, where is God? Anybody have an idea? Where is God to you? He's everywhere?
And beyond everywhere.
And beyond everywhere. Where is he in relation to you?
In the end.
In, around,
and through.
And through. That's right. I know there was... we first have to come into alignment with how we feel about God, how God looks to us. I remember one time a minister friend of mine was getting all these weird phone calls from this gentleman who was in need of help, and I think a lot of practitioners got calls from him as well, and he was talking about what God was, you know, how God was mistreating him and everything. And finally, Reverend Hillary says, "Well, get yourself a new God." and that's exactly what you do. I mean, that's what we strive for in Science of Mind. We strive for finding out where God is and coming into alignment with that and embodying that. So how do you embody it? Well, as a Science of Mind practitioner, I have three tools that I use. The first is affirmation, affirming affirming that God is within me. Affirmation, meditation is taking time to listen for the voice of God, because God does talk to us. He talks to us in an intuitive way. He talks to us. You ever had these gut feelings? A wonderful story of that was told to me about gut feelings is Reverend Sunday Cote. One time in her talk at the Celebration Center, spoke about how she was getting ready to go. She was going down Graham Road, and she was at that intersection where Graham Road intersects with Route 50. And she was pregnant at the time, and she was, I guess she may have been feeling a little vulnerable or whatever, but all at once, the light changed, and she was getting ready to go across. She was the first one to go across. And this voice in her head spoke to her and said, "Stop." And she stopped just as a car went through the intersection. That's listening to God. That's God. That's that listening and being open to hearing. Another friend of mine was one time talked about meeting this man in a park in New York City. And she says, "Oh, my gut feeling was that I was to leave him alone, but God, he was so good looking. Yada, 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 yada." But she said, "I went ahead and did it." And she says, the next thing you know, 6 months later, he got really sick and she got embedded into his life. And it was just a total fiasco. It turned into a total fiasco for her. Had she listened to her intuition, she would have known to, she would have stayed away from him. And it works that intuitive aspect of God, which what this is, speaks to us also in positive ways that, you know, like for instance, you're looking for a relationship. You want a relationship, but it's like, "Oh, I want a relationship, but I don't want to go to the bars. I don't want to go to these meet and greet things. I don't want to go to what they call it, racetrack dating or whatever it's called." Yeah, speed dating. I don't want to do any of that nonsense. But I'm open and receptive to having a new partner in my life. Well, then all at once, you just sort of let it go, and all at once, Spirit will start talking to you, and it'll say, "Well, you know, why don't you, instead of going to this grocery store this week, why don't you go to this one?" Mm-hmm. You'll get that feeling, and then you'll meet somebody when they're squeezing the melons or whatever. You know, picking up the melon. Oh, you guys. So, but this is what happens when we take time to affirm treatment prayer. Pray for a more of awareness of God in our lives. This is what happens. God, the creative principle, which is everywhere, present, the circle, and this is where we are. This is where the God part of us is, right in through here. And when we think into mind, we infuse that thought, goes into the creative medium and manifest. We plant that seed into the manifestation, into mind, and then the wonderful definition of the symbol that I learned when I was in a play, it was spirit descending through law to manifest as physical reality. That's how it works. It's just as simple as that. It's just the spirit of God, that part of ourselves that is God, that we infuse. Our thoughts are things. Our thoughts take, we think of, our words take form, they create a mold, and then we infuse that with our thinking and our feelings and our emotions and everything, and then we plant it into the creative medium. It's like planting a garden. I know this is like, we use this all the time, and I was trying to think of another way of saying it, but a garden is a wonderful thing. We take the seed is our thought, we plant it into the ground. like we take a tomato seed, we plant it into the ground, we get, and we water it, we nurture it, we pull the weeds away from it so they can breathe. We do the same thing with our thinking. We pull the weeds from our thinking and we water our thoughts with love and peace, our seeds with peace and love, and we'll talk to that plant and say pretty things to it. You know, it grows and it grows. We get the big tomatoes. Well, if you plant tomatoes, you can't get oranges or potatoes. It just doesn't work that way. But as long as we keep affirming that what we desire desires us and doesn't hurt anybody else, God, the creative medium, will manifest as that reality. I had some, as a religious science minister, interfaith minister, I was looking for what other texts have to say about this. This concept is universal. It says that there is one, the sacred text of the East says, there is one God who is concealed in all, who pervades all, who is in the inner soul of all beings. The Quran says, and it's kind of gender specific, he is the living one, no God there be but he. The Buddhists say, God is the supreme being, the unsurpassed, the perceiver of all things. And then the Talmud says, our God is a living God. His power fills the universe. He formed you, and with his spirit, you breathe. Emerson said that in every intelligence there is a door which is never closed through which the Creator passes. So, how much of it can we have in our life? How much God can we have? As much as we can perceive. That's the essence of this teaching, is that we become so infused with the God presence that it's even before I ask, I have received a lot of times. It's like God takes care of my needs before I even know I have need of them. This is called living in the Spirit. This is called, and the Christians call it walking in the Spirit. The Taoist, I think they call it, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember exactly what that was, but anyway. So, anyway, this for the past couple of weeks, with Judy's help, I've been writing my webpage, and I realized that when I was doing the page for my counseling sessions, that what I wrote pertained to what this talk is about today. And it says, every problem we encounter in our lives can potentially take us to the higher level of understanding, which is with a spiritual solution waiting to be revealed, and this is without exception. The truth is that each of us is a perfect manifestation of the divine. We just forget and need a reminder. Often our challenges can overwhelm us and cause us to lose sight of this power within. As we become more aware of this power, we can redirect it and use it to transform our lives. God, Goddess, all that is alive and well within each and every one of us. Our divinity, which is our God self, reveals itself in subtle ways when we open to it through our insights. It comes in through our insights, our feelings, our hunches, our gut feelings, our intuition. In The Science of Mind, Ernest Holmes is constantly referring to intuition, your God mind. One of these days I'm going to read The Science of Mind and count each how many times he says intuition. Regardless of our religious this happens regardless of our religious affiliation or belief system, if indeed we have any at all. There is absolutely no exception to our individual divinity. We come into this world with it pre-installed. All we have to do is to enable it. So, let's see, what time is it? It's only 11:36. And I really, do you think you have, is there any questions? Because this isn't a talk, and like in the sense of a talk, it's like I want us to discuss as well.
You mentioned three things. You did affirmation and meditation, and then you never mentioned.
Oh, that. I'm sorry, and prayer. Our prayer, our affirmative prayer,
which we call treatment.
Yes.
You didn't talk about treatment. But
oh,
you didn't
okay.
Say it quite
yeah, I didn't quite say it in that way. It was affirmative prayer. Those are our three tools as practitioners of Science of Mind. Anybody else? Anybody have any questions about how it works?
I have a general question for you, Dennis, and I'm asking it because I'd like you to talk about how you do it. You were talking about weeding out the thoughts that you really don't want there. And could you maybe go into a little bit about how you do that?
Sure. For myself, when I catch myself in a, like, say for instance, I'm affirming or praying for relationship at work, for, you know, work relationships, and how it's something is out of harmony there, and I go to work and the person that I'm praying about is being a real jerk that day. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm finding it hard to love this person. I know that there's a lesson here. So what I do, I try to stop myself right then and there, and I go in and I just start affirming for myself, to myself. First, I treat for my own self. I treat that I am a loving, kind, and thoughtful and considerate person, and then I affirm for the other person as well. Mm-hmm. Because in order for something to exist out there, it first has to exist in here. And so you just sort of pull, that's what I call the weeds. We're just like pulling the weeds up.
That's powerful what you just said, Dennis, because what you're saying is you're taking 100% responsibility for your life.
Absolutely.
And anything you're manifesting in your life is in response to your vibration.
Right.
And so if there's a disharmony out there, means there's a disharmony in here, and you're bringing yourself into harmony within yourself.
Right.
So that you can then see it out there.
Right.
As I was writing last month, I was thinking about manifesting a partner relationship for myself, and what came through for me was it's not about finding the beloved out there, because all there is out there is the beloved. Everything out there is the beloved in form. It's about finding the beloved in here.
Mm-hmm.
So that the beloved out there can find me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a powerful reminder that what's in my life is all about what's in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And moving more and more into my heart and the love that I am changes what's outside of me altogether.
Yeah, I am that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we did that one time not too long ago.
I am that.
I am that.
Mm-hmm.
I am, yeah.
When you were talking about Emerson, there's a quote that Ernest Holmes repeats a number of times in his writing from Emerson that I just love and inspired my intention for this year. He Emerson said something like, there is an aspect in every man's life. He was writing when they only talked about men. There is an aspect in every woman's life where the reins run out, where you let it run out full rein, and you allow yourself to express in the fullness of who you are, something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I set my intention for this year to be fully engaged in my life, mm-hmm. to let my gifts run out full rein this year, mm-hmm. and give what I have to give and share what I have to share and see what life looks like when I'm fully engaged. And it's my life is really busy. I'm manifesting full yeah. out. next year I may affirm a little more peace and leisure, but it's really fun to see what happens when we make a choice that we're going to go for it in life, and all of a sudden doors start opening and opportunities come around.
This is truly. Ernest Holmes was truly a man, I think, before his time. If he were living now, he is living. God, what am I talking about? He is living now. I mean, he's living in me. I just love Ernie. I feel like sometimes I am Ernie. Uh-huh. I call him Ernie. He's my bud. And I keep him on my desk. I have Amma on my desk. I have Sai Baba on my desk at work. I have the little Buddha with the telephone and the cup of coffee. On my desk. I try to constantly surround myself with remembering, no matter what I'm doing, that presence that I am in the world. And that's how we do it. That's how we embody this idea of God. This is how we embody it, is constantly practicing embodying it. And the thing is that we have to remember and acknowledge to ourselves that we can, that there's nothing out there bigger than what's in here, which within us, because what's within us is out there.
Just another story in response to Judy's question about what Ernest said about weeding out what's there that you don't want. One of the analogies that he made that we've talked about often here is that when you have a glass of inky water, that you can't get the ink out directly. But what you can do is continually pour clear, fresh water into the glass and let it overflow. And so what he recommended was to continually feed yourself the kinds of beliefs, the positive thoughts, the contemplation of spirit and the qualities of God, so that what you're putting into your consciousness over time clarifies your mind, so that what you are fostering, what you are nurturing yourself with, is the most positive thoughts you have access to. And that way, your mind becomes clearer and clearer. And my experience over, it's like 24 years of science of mind now, is that my mind becomes more and more spacious and quiet. There's less going on, but the thoughts that are coming up are more and more powerful and clear and guided, so that the intuitions, it's quiet enough that I can hear the intuition to take the action.
And this is a shortcut, maybe not a shortcoming, but this is what I have a problem with, is in the course of the day, finding time to really sit and contemplate the divine. I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes I just find myself I'm going in like so many different directions, you know, there's so much to do mm-hmm. in the course of a day. And does anybody else have that problem?
I mean,
and I'm realizing that I always, and I do this, like some days when things are just so frenetic and crazy and I feel like I do stop and breathe. I do know enough to stop and breathe, but I wish I was better at it. I'm a practitioner. I admit I don't always sit in meditation and contemplation. And so I am trying to do better, though. I'm getting up a half an hour earlier now, at 5 o'clock instead of 5:30, and having some quiet time with Ernie and the boys.
That's why it's called practitioner with practice.
Yeah.
And you practice the best you can. Yeah. I would like to say something that is really, for me, was probably one of my turning points. I was raised Catholic, and I came here, and I felt like cheated because everything that I have learned was not working. And I started reading The Science of Mind, which I have read several times, and every time I said, how come I miss this? I mean, and the amazing thing is that if we really believe we're children of God, and we see how God created this world, I mean, from unmanifested to manifested, because this is what it is. Everything comes from unmanifested. For example, this little print here, somebody designed the bottle and said that the cap is going to be blue, and this is the suede thing here, put the letters, and this little box here looks nice with all the stars and everything like that. This little cup, I think it's going to put it blue, and so everything, I mean, there's a designer that used their mind and designed this and make a little sketch, and then when they send it to the people who fabricate this, and here they are. Well, if we really believe that we're children of God and that our mind is connected and it's God's mind, so everything that we put in our mind comes into manifestation. But we don't believe that, so because we are so like wiki-waki, and I don't know if this is true, and I don't think I'm that powerful, and so there is this talk of war within us, just really believing that. But that's what God said, and there's light. And guess what? There was light. Maybe he didn't say that. But whatever God thought it was beautiful, this planet with a garden and this change of seasons and this gorgeous color of the sea and of the sky and the clouds that we never saw it, he saw like a vision that, and here it is. If we can take time just to envision what we want, we will manifest it. Yesterday I said, Carl, I would like to have a very romantic movie for the 14, and I saw this little picture, it's called Somewhere in Time. I could tell you this is science of mind completely. I mean, he got it here and he got it. And at the end, he got it anyway. So amazing. So if we just try to believe that, and it doesn't matter if you have many weeds, many things and many thoughts that are in whatever, just start pulling, as best as you can, start pulling one in another. This is not the truth. This is what the truth is. So that's what is called remind. You redirect your mind into the perfect thinking that we need to have. Those are the weeds. And just take... I have a pretty good example. I did something interesting this year, and I said, well, because I counted my blessings, and they were 86 last year. One of them was a new grandchild. I mean, that was a big blessing. So I said, well, this year, then, God, thank you very much, I'm going to be more ambitious. And I had a special intention. This is, come on, Guadalupe, that's never going to happen. Guadalupe is my real name. That's never going to happen. And I said, yeah, it won't happen. You just declare that it won't happen. It's impossible. So this is very good. This is a matter, this is how big your faith is. So I came and started writing my little thing, and I said, well, I'm trusting that this is going to happen, whatever. 6 hours later, my son called me and said, you know, Mommy, I think whatever, and you can do this and everything. And I said, God, 6 hours later, the answer came. It was pretty amazing. And I'm signing papers, so go and see.
I've had the exact same thing happen to me too. Like, I remember one time, this is years ago when I first got into Science of Mind, and I've been in Science of Mind since about 86, I think is when I started going. And I remember one day I had 15 cents in my pocket. And I'm not kidding you, that was all the money I had in the world. And I called my practitioner, and we did a treatment over the phone, and I just kept, after we talked, I just kept affirming that this wasn't the truth about me. Well, by the end of the day, I had $150 in my pocket. And it was literally like magic to me. That's what that's what this practice is all about. This is a practical, this is what I call practical Christianity. This is what I call practical Buddhism and Hinduism, because it's all of those things. It's practical. This is a process that we can use. We can literally chop wood and carry water with it. And that's what it's so funny because, interesting, because when I left the Christian church, I said, I will never, ever have another thing to do with the church ever in my life unless I can find a practical, a church where, a philosophy that I can literally embrace and embody. And then I found Science of Mind.
I call it No Fail Prayer.
It's what?
No Fail Prayer.
No Fail Prayer.
That's where I started. Science of Mind. I mean, it's No Fail Prayer.
And like I said, this doesn't matter if you're... Ernest Holmes, when he designed this philosophy or created this philosophy, he took from all of the major religions. And it does not matter if you're a Hindu, a Muslim, a Buddhist, a Christian, or even an atheist. You don't even have to believe in a God in order to use these principles. Mm-hmm. And all you have to believe is in yourself and that in your abilities, and that there's something within you, which for much to the atheist's chagrin is God, but we won't go there. We can call it energy. We can call it love. That's what I like
divine
to call
intelligence
it.
May I offer something?
Sure. Okay.
To bring a couple of ideas together, the philosopher, essayist Emerson, one of my favorites also, and the essay Self-Reliance has a wonderful section where he says that we should pay attention to the innermost quiet ideas that come up, because we're bound to hear them from other people. And there's a favorite passage. I won't even attempt to imitate his eloquence, but sometimes we'll hear our own ideas through others and we'll say, hey, I've been thinking that all the time. Mm-hmm. Why did I not voice that idea? It was strong within me too. Mm-hmm. And allowing that to come forward takes practice. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite disciplines is Raja Yoga. We practice that. We get an overview, a wonderful overview through Science of Mind, as with Theosophy, mm-hmm. with some of the other paths that overlap so well. And after a while, we see that there are only a few basic rules about a sound spiritual practice. And we can have like a back azimuth to ourselves of seeing a direction and saying, oh yes, here's where I am. And there's a familiar mountain back to me. This is where I am. And the more paths, back azimuths we have to ourselves, the more solidly we become established in our own practice. So I just want to bring a few thoughts together.
That's wonderful. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
So, anyway, this seems like a really good jumping off point and it's 11:54 for us to have our break, and then when we come back, John is going to perform another, or bless us with another song or musical contribution, and then we're going to I have a song that I want you to listen to that I think it's very appropriate for this weekend of love and all of us red wearers and whatever, and mm-hmm. all those who wear our hearts on our sleeves and mm-hmm. and everything. So why don't we take a break for about 10 and be back in about 10 minutes.
Can I say something just
certainly.
Before the break? I want to start teaching a foundations class, And several people told me they were interested, but they were coming from a long distance. So I talked to Reverend Hillary, and she gave me permission to offer a foundations class on a once a month basis. So next month I'm going to be starting a Science of Mind foundations class on one Saturday a month. And I haven't picked the date yet, but I'd like to know if who's interested. And I have a little sign-up sheet where I'm asking for email addresses so that I can get that. And maybe if any of you are interested or would like to talk to me about what that means, you could come see me during the break.
And that's a wonderful opportunity for you to learn and put this practice into, or this philosophy into practice in your own life. Literally, this is the one class that will change your life. It really will. If there's no, I really think that it will change your life, and I always, that's a guarantee. You'll never be the same after this class. So I highly recommend it. And Connie,
don't
is a
be very, very afraid.
No, don't be afraid. If you're open and receptive to having good things in your life, you're going to see a lot of old stuff fall away. There won't be, that's no lie, but you'll see a lot of positive things take its place.
That's pretty funny.
And you'll laugh a lot. But Connie is an awesome teacher. You all know. She taught me. And she taught me practitioner class. And I feel really blessed for that, and having her consciousness. So, anyway, in 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Wonderful.